Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Very early with the political satire this morning.
Political satire? Just an off-the-cuff remark?
Is that not very respectful, is it?
Well, no, but... right, is your swingometer working?
Swingometer, do they have a swingometer in the United States? I don't think they do they? Election day, certainly going to be an interesting day over the course. Well, hopefully it's an election day rather than days, but let's see how it goes. I start off with the presidential election. Too early, of course, to predict whether President Trump will win re-election. We know there's some very clear warning signs there. It's the impact of COVID-19, fragile economic backdrop, social unrest, along with a difficult electoral map, suggests his path to the White House looks extremely challenging. Battleground states, have been talking about these for some time. The four really to watch out for: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and also Florida. If you take the first three of those, we know they were clinched by a very narrow margin, less than 1% of the vote in each case in 2016. Without those three states, the president wouldn't have won last time. Looking at this year's electoral math, seems he'll need to win all three again to get re-elected. Things stand, Democratic opponent, former Vice President Joe Biden, who remember is from Pennsylvania, does have a lead in all three, although that lead has been tightening, so we wait to see how it plays out. Florida is an early state to watch out for. The rules on counting mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, means the result could come relatively early. Florida, to remember, absolutely vital, it's thought, for President Trump. Could prove to be an early knockout blow for the president if he loses it. If you look at Odds Checker, which is aggregating bets, certainly not Barclays numbers, the implied probability of a Biden victory, according to them, 65.2%.
It's the economy, stupid.
Well, you know who said that?
Bill Clinton.
James Carville.
Oh, so I thought it was Bill Clinton to George Bush Sr.
No.
Okay, got that wrong, but he certainly used it on the campaign trail, didn't he?
It is, and if you think about it, only a few months ago, we had a record high stock market, we had a booming economy, unemployment down at the lowest levels in decades, and it was all looking pretty good, the economic argument for President Trump. COVID-19 has certainly altered that argument quite dramatically.
I just worked out this is the 8th presidential election I've covered at this radio station.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
It makes me feel old.
Who was the first one, Ed?
God, that would go back to, it had to be George Bush Sr., I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
One term, wasn't it, George Bush?
Yeah, one term only, yeah. And the first president in my lifetime was Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. So, as you said, yeah, Florida is the big one, isn't it? 29 electoral college seats, and the margin is too tight to call there. But as you said yesterday, an army of lawyers on both sides standing by to go in, really.
Looks that way. Vital for Trump, not necessarily vital, it's thought, in terms of Biden. He could still go on to win. Very difficult to see how President Trump could win without Florida. Beyond the presidential race, the next results really to watch out for, of course, in Congress, and this possibility of a blue wave. Democrats expected to win the House of Representatives. I think if you look at the odds, again, not Barclays numbers, but if you look at the odds, 6-1 on favourites, the Democrats are for the House of Representatives. The battle for the Senate, the upper chamber of Congress, certainly much tighter. It has, should remember, the power over the passage of legislation can frustrate presidential policy implementation. Senate currently under Republican control, 53-47 majority. 35 seats are being contested. Republicans are defending 23 of those seats. Republican seats that are seen as vulnerable, could like Arizona, Colorado, Maine, North Carolina, Georgia, Montana, and Iowa, so they could be the swing states there. If Biden wins the presidency and Democrats, of course, control both chambers of Congress, he'll be able to push ahead with his policy agenda relatively unencumbered. That's likely to mean a more federally driven approach, higher taxes, embracing a multilateral approach to foreign relations, aggressive infrastructure spending, and the transition to green energy.
Well, if he makes a clean sweep, he'll just be able to take it easy in a comfortable chair, won't he?
Are you sleepy, Joe?
I don't know. I mean, it's worrying, though, isn't it? I mean, without wishing to be macabre, but both the candidates are in their 70s. So Donald Trump is a few years younger, of course, than Joe Biden. But it does raise the prospects of either Kamala Harris or Mike Pence eventually being in the White House within the next 4 years.
Years and years of experience is probably how they would like to describe it. So let's not be too morbid about the prospects for the candidates on election day.
Of course, they do have the best medical treatment that money can buy as well, once you become the president. So onto the markets, and markets, as we've said so many times, don't like uncertainty. And even though they're pretty much calling out a Biden victory, the longer this goes on, the more the volatility will increase.
Yeah, volatility is the major fear, particularly if we were to get to that point of a contested election playing out. No doubt it'd be the worst result for markets. US stocks actually rebounded yesterday from last week's rout. Last week, of course, we saw the S&P register its worst weekly performance since March. S&P 500 bouncing back yesterday was up 1.2%. NASDAQ was up 0.4%. Investors showing very few nerves heading into today's US presidential election. Sentiment has been helped by data that showed the, as we're talking about yesterday, strength in China's economic expansion, those PMI figures. The VIX index eased back, Wall Street's fear gauge, and oil actually clawed back some of its recent losses amid signals that Russia is in talks to possibly postpone OPEC Plus planned output hike in January. Opening calls on the European bourse is certainly looking positive this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 50 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 98 points. CAC calling in Paris up 40 points.
And more doom and gloom from the airline industry. Hank, so I called you Hank, as many of our listeners do anyway.
We're in the American frame of mind today, so let's go with Hank.
Okay.
Michael O'Leary talking yesterday, grabbing some of the headlines and certainly doing the rounds on the news channels. As you'd probably expect, pretty angry about the current environment that the aviation industry is having to operate in. The low-cost airline reported a net loss of €197 million for the 6 months to the end of September. No surprise after passenger numbers fell by 80%. Summer, of course, normally the most profitable time of year for the European airlines. The comparable figure for last year was a profit of €1.1 billion. Not the only one, of course. If you look at IAG, owner of British Airways and Iberia, they lost, I think, £6 billion in the first 9 months of the year. EasyJet has lost £800 million in 2020. And the outlook still remains grim. Ryanair expects to record higher losses in the second half of its financial year, following the travel restrictions and ban on holidays in many of its key markets, particularly the UK.
Getting your banks and your airlines confused, ING, yeah, the bank, IAG, the airline.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Michael O'Leary actually ruffling quite a few feathers yesterday, which will probably not be music to the ears of his customers.
No, taking a different view perhaps to some of the other airlines, although I think he has been joined by the likes of Wizz, saying that he wouldn't automatically, I think, refund passengers who've booked on their flights. Although I think they can change it, if memory serves me correctly, from what he was saying yesterday. But listen, it's lots of pressure on the airlines. I'm sure many passengers will understand and will be prepared to move their booking forward if that's the case.
And that's just one area of the economy that's been decimated. I mean, with the new series of lockdowns, England's joining in with everybody else on Thursday. How much damage this time around is lockdown going to do to the Eurozone and the UK economies?
Probably less severe than obviously we're talking about in March and April, because I think governments are looking to balance the medical demands against the backdrop of the broader economic ramifications. Medical knowledge has improved quite substantially, so I think the economic impact will be less severe, but you are talking about contractions now, probably for the UK economy and for the Eurozone in the fourth quarter. The hope was it'd be flat to slightly positive. So the prospect of a double dip recession certainly looming large. We had, of course, a huge fall in activity in the second quarter, strong rebound in Q3. The fourth quarter is where the game's going to be played out. These restrictions suggest a further contraction likely to take place.
And it's the retailers that are really going to suffer, though, isn't it? So, I mean, if this lockdown is extended beyond, it's the 1st of December here in France and the 2nd of December in the UK, they have to stay closed in the run-up to Christmas. God knows what's going to happen.
Crucial time. That's the difference with the lockdown, probably this time compared to where we were in March, April. It's a sensitive time of year for the hospitality sector and for the retailers, and without that ability to get customers through the doors, it's going to hit them incredibly hard. Governments will need to come up with further support packages, but the question is, where does that stop? How high can that bill go? How many years will we be paying off the bill as a result of these the fiscal response? That's the question we need to ask ourselves.
Oh, well, should add a few billion more to Jeff Bezos's bank balance.
Amazon shares certainly done incredibly well, up 70% something year to date. I think they are something around that number.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 129. Euro dollar coming in at 116.5. We're going to get just under 1 euro 11 cents for your British pound this morning.
Well, I suppose when we talk this time tomorrow, the outcome of the election won't be decided, but perhaps we'll have some pointers as to who's going to be in the White House for the next 4 years.
Well, maybe decided, but may not have the full detail of it coming through. So let's hope we get to that position tomorrow, and look forward to discussing it with you.
Yes, well, me too, and talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays.